Guillermo Barba, right? Thank you for joining the podcast here at Guadalajara Geopolitics Institute. So my goal is basically to share this information with my hundreds of students here at the Tech semester after semester, as well as to promote the excellent analysis from experts like yourself. Actually, I just looked at your video, your first video blog that you did a few months ago, and you mentioned how you feel this need as well to share this information with people, correct?
It's correct.
And in the English-speaking world, I've seen you make a few appearances online with Max Kaiser, right, some months ago?
In January.
Uh-huh. And so you write for Forbes Mexico and other papers, and you're also a television analyst. So can you just briefly tell us a little bit about your background and your current work?
Okay, yeah, sure. Yes, I am a Mexican economist. I studied at the National Autonomous University of Mexico, the UNAM. I am a Mexican economist. I studied at the National Autonomous University of Mexico here in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. But I always say that I became a real economist when I first started to study the Austrian School of Economics, you know, because at the university I only did read about Keynes and Marx, and that's it. I never heard about Ludwig von Mises and Rothbard, etc., the Austrian authors. So that's a huge problem because I didn't learn economics, actually. I did learn the socialist ideas in my university, so I always say that I became an economist when I graduated from it, and basically I started to start by myself the Austrian thinking, the Austrian economic school. And so I started to read Rothbard, I started to read Karl Menger, and some years ago I started to read, and I became a student of Professor Antal Pekete. He's the founder of the new Austrian School of Economics, and I think that that's the future of the Austrian school. So that's my point of view is based on the Austrian ideas, liberal ideas, and I try to promote them here, of course, in Mexico, in Latin America in general, with English-speaking people in the U.S. Most of my readers are from Mexico, of course, and the second country for my readers is the United States, and then Spain. In the fourth place is Argentina, but in general, I try to publish in Spanish, but I do some papers and in English too. Only a few, but because I have not much time, but then in general, I try to do all my best.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny how you mentioned in schools, you didn't hear about the Austrian school, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I think that maybe in history of economics or history, and I don't know, maybe in one subject, but I don't know.
And so I teach occasionally a class on economics here, and you know the textbook only mentions Keynes, and we're told to, you know, pretty much give the basics of economics. So it's really up to the teacher to go outside the box. And so I have to, you know, it only says the Keynesian school, Chicago school, and I always have to myself, to my students, add in Austrian school and talk to them about the Austrian school.
That's good.
And so you talk a lot about the Austrian school. Do you find many other people or colleagues that you work with that have this perspective? How popular is it in Mexico?
Oh, unfortunately, not many people know about Austrian economics. Even myself, I told you that I discovered the Austrian school only a few, all about when I graduated. When I graduated from the UNAM. So here in Mexico, there are only a few people that know the Austrian school, and then have learned a lot about the Austrian authors. There are only a very few people. I think that. And I know all of them, and all of them know me. There are only very few people, and among those people, only a very even less people write about the Austrian school for papers or for a blog, etc. But I know there are more Austrians, much Austrian economists But in like you, for example, teaching in, at the at universities or schools, or etc. But they do not publish or post articles about the Austrian thinking. So that's a problem, because the Austrian school remains hidden, basically. So I think that that's one of my goals, to make people know more about the Austrian school in Mexico, Latin America, the Spanish-speaking people in the U.S., and of course in Spain. But of course, I have many colleagues in Spain that are working, like Jesús Huerta de Soto and Juan Ramón Rayo, and those are my friends too. I told you, I'm almost, at least in the Spanish-speaking world, almost all Austrians know each other, unfortunately, because we are not too many. But that's our job, to expand the knowledge of the Austrian school. Once Ludwig von Mises once said that it was the responsibility of us, the economists, to let people know the liberal thinking, the reality about economics, because of course you know that he was a critic of socialism, and then other authors were also like Hayek, for example. He was a very hard critic of Keynesian economics, and we have the responsibility, we take the responsibility for teaching the Austrian school thinking to many people.
And myself
in Mexico.
And myself living in Mexico, sometimes I look for analysis here in Mexico, and the only analysis that I could find is yours and the commentary from Hugo Salinas Price, I think, as you know, right? And so I follow.
Basically, I about 1 month or two ago, I invited Arturo Dan to publish his articles on my blog. If you read my Inteligencia Financiera Global blog, my Global Financial Intelligence blog in Spanish, and some articles in English too, it's publishing now some articles of some guests like Arturo Dan. Arturo Dan is publishing too from Monday to Friday. And he's a liberal guy. He's a very nice guy. He's very smart. He's teaching his Austrian economics too here in Mexico City and several universities. And as I told you, there are not too many Austrian economists talking about.
And your blog is really starting. It's starting to get interesting because you have these guests on publishing as well. You started a video blog and. Now you're doing interviews, which you translate them into English as well. And I was going to ask you, you recently talked to Jim Rogers and Mish Shedlock, who I've followed as well. And if you could tell us quickly, what is your view briefly on the current global economic political crisis? What would you say are one or two greatest threats right now? And for example, you know, you talked to Jim Rogers, and Mish and a lot of them are saying they're making very strong forecasts for the future. There's a lot of people are saying October this year, the next 6 months. Jim Rogers says 1 or 2 years. From the top of your head, what's your analysis?
Yes. Well, you know, economists, serious economists, have a hard, very hard job because forecasts are always difficult, because if you forecast a specific date, it's highly likely that you will fail. Don't like to give some specific dates because of these failures, basically. So as I'm in my today's article, I state that We cannot know when things are going to happen, when the collapse is going to come, when the collapse is going to happen. We don't know that. We don't know that for sure. If we knew that, we could become one of the wealthiest men in the world in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
In a matter of hours, maybe. So you never know. So the only thing that Mish, that Jim Rogers and other economic thinkers and myself, the only thing we can say is that things are going to become very, as we say in Spanish, very ugly, because this is going to be a complete mess, economical and financial mess, because the Fed, the Federal Reserve, keeps printing money, even if they're supposed to start to normalize the political and money, the economic policy, the monetary policy, I mean. And we only know that the basics, the fundamentals are very weak, because this is not a real recovery. You know, this is a dead cat bounce, because in order to make the cat bounce, they printed, literally speaking, trillions of dollars. So when you print trillions of dollars, of course you get a recovery, but that's not a real recovery. Mm-hmm. So we will have a new crisis. Things will become worse, not better, because fundamentals have not improved. They are even worse than in 2007, 2008, and 2009. So the next crisis will be even worse. When is that going to happen? In 1 year, 2 years? We don't know for sure, of course. But we know that's going to happen.
And I read today, I believe the velocity of money, for example, hit a historic low, which shows that people aren't buying and consuming, and there's so many indicators we see that are, you know, historic highs or historic lows, and it shows.
Yeah, it happens because the economy is not really growing that much, and the economic and the monetary base has been growing and growing. So that's why one of the reasons why the velocity of money has been going down. So, as I told you, we cannot know when that's going to happen, but that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That's my point. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter. If you know that's going to happen, you have to prepare. For example, if you know that today is going to rain, well, it doesn't matter the time. You have to prepare with an umbrella, yeah. At least. So,
it's a very good point. Especially, well, where I am in Guadalajara, where we need a boat sometimes to get around.
Yes, here in Mexico City is the same thing. So it doesn't matter what happens. As I told you, you have to, if you already know that that's going to happen, well, just do a favor to yourself and prepare. Buy gold, silver. And Jim Rogers said this week that his largest position is in the U.S. dollar. Not because he trusts the U.S. dollar, because it's a terribly flawed currency. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, he has his largest position is in dollars, because when the crisis hit, people will panic and will go to the assets they know as a safe haven. In this case, the U.S. dollar, the treasuries, etc. And if that happens, that's highly likely. And well, the dollar will strengthen, and that means that's not good news for other assets like gold and silver, because the price will want to collapse. Maybe we don't know for sure, but that can happen. And so if that happens, and I expect that to happen, I will buy gold or silver like crazy.
It'll be on sale.
Yes, exactly. And you have to be prepared with cash, because if you have your money in a bank account, you are not earning interest, and the risk is really high.
And to jump to Mexico real quick, you know, I have a funny story. When I came to Mexico 5 years ago, my father, he gave me some of the old Mexican pesos, and I didn't know anything when I came to Mexico, and I actually tried to buy tacos once with them. And the taco guy laughed at me. but when I came, I remember the peso was something like 11 pesos to the dollar. And now we're going on 16 almost pesos to the dollar. And so what's your view on how will Mexico be affected? Because, you know, they say when the U.S. catches a cold, how is it? When the U.S. sneezes and Mexico catches a cold.
Exactly.
So what are your thoughts?
Yes, exactly the same thing right now. Remember, Agustin Carstens said some years ago, before the economic crisis hit, that that Mexico was okay, that everything was okay, that Mexico was want to get only a territory, a little cold. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. In the Mexico was going to get to catch a catarrito, meaning cold.
Okay.
So Agustin Carstens said that, oh, don't worry, you don't have to worry because the crisis is in the United States, not in Mexico. Mexico's fundamentals are very strong, so don't worry. Everything is going to be okay with the peso, with the economy. Nothing is going to happen. Mexico is not going to fall in a recession. Don't worry. And then the crisis hit in Mexico on the peso, and the dollar skyrocketed. So, and that's going to happen again. Well, that's it's quite likely that that will happen again. And I don't know if the peso will, if the dollar, price of the U.S. dollar will go to 20 pesos, but I don't know. Who knows? 17, 18 pesos, we don't know. But that, my point again is that we have to prepare because Mexican fundamentals are not strong. They're very weak, actually. They, of course, you don't, please make yourself a favor and don't believe Agustin Carstens, don't believe Luis Videgaray, don't believe in President Peña Nieto, because they say the economy is strong, the economy is going to grow thanks to the structural reforms, and that's not going to happen. Yes, some of the structural reforms were good, like the energy reform, but some others were a complete mess, like the fiscal reform. Because they raised taxes, and that was a huge mistake. They have said that they want not to lower taxes, and that's a bad news for Mexico. Mm-hmm. The economy is not growing; it's almost stalled, basically. So what's going to happen? Well, I mean, Mexico is not prepared at all. If the crisis hit, the dollar is going to skyrocket in terms of Mexican pesos. That's what I think. And how high can the dollar go? I don't know, but that doesn't matter. Again, you have to be prepared, because if that happens, your Mexican pesos are going to devalue. Basically, you're going to lose fortune and power.
Mm-hmm. So be prepared. And then going back to gold and silver, precious metals, for example, you know, I teach my students, you know, we have these are pretty cool, the Mexican Libertad, the onza. And I teach, for example, this is very interesting, I have a silver certificate, a 1953 dollar, and I teach students, I mean, again, like you mentioned, they don't teach this in schools, but here it says at the bottom $5 in silver payable to the bearer on demand, right? So this was the real money, and this was just the paper receipt. And now they just taught us that this is just money. When, no, you know, this is the good stuff. And do you know anything about Hugo Salinas Price? Apparently, he's been trying to monetize or allow silver to be used as money as well in Mexico. But pretty much, I think in his last interview, he said that the Fed is preventing that from happening in Mexico. So yes. Do you have any news about that?
Well, yes, you know, the Bank of Mexico is basically a branch of the Federal Reserve. So they are not, the Bank of Mexico is not going to do anything that can make the Fed become angry at Mexico. So they don't want to disturb the Federal Reserve. So they say, oh, we're okay with the dollar, don't worry. We don't want the silver coin to get monetized in Mexico because we are okay with the dollar. Almost most of our international or foreign reserves are in dollars. So we love America. We love the U.S. dollar. They are okay. They don't want to disturb the Americans, mm-hmm. The American government, the Federal Reserve. They are okay. So basically, they are basically acting like lackeys of the American establishment. That's a pity, but that's what's happening, actually. So, yes, basically, Hugo Salinas is right. It's very difficult that the silver coin will get monetized, will become monetized in Mexico, because most of lawmakers agree that that would be a good idea. Even President Peña Nieto, when he was the governor of the state of Mexico, agreed that it was a good idea to monetize the Libertad Silver Ounce. But now that he's now president of the Republic, I don't know if he thinks the same thing, but basically lawmakers approve this idea, but Bank of Mexico says, no, that's terrible, it's a very bad idea, you know, that's not practical, people could make fake coins and counterfeit the coins, and they invent a lot of things. And then they basically they are lying. The only reason why they oppose this proposal is because they are lackeys of the American establishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And just a few more questions. You mentioned how people should protect themselves, and analysts like Mark Faber and Jim Rickards. I like what they mentioned, that people should have like 20 or 25% each of their savings in precious metals. You mentioned cash. Maybe 20% in stocks and then another in real estate. Does that make sense for you? What would you suggest for an average person to do?
So, yes, of course, that makes a lot of sense. Listen to them. Do not listen to the officials. Do not listen to them. And please listen to the experts like Jim Rogers, like Jim Rickards, like Mark Faber, like Hugo Salinas and many others. And economists of the Austrian School, listen to them, to Anton Fekete and a lot of them, because they are telling you the truth. Trust in them, or even don't trust them. Study by yourself. No, financial education is the more important thing to know in the current world. You have to learn about the economy. You have to learn about finance. You have to learn about investments and how to protect yourself from crisis, from financial crisis, from economic crisis. So. You have to protect, of course, you need to have in your portfolio a lot of gold, silver. The percentage depends on, it's up to you, and depends on you, because you decide how much is it's okay for you. 20%, 10%, it all depends. But of course, you need to have gold, silver, a lot of cash, and in several currencies, in strong currencies. And currently, I'm short the Mexican peso. And I would rather hold at the moment, for example, the US dollar, basically. And maybe there may be some opportunities in the stock market, in Mexican stock market, probably, but you have to do your work. I will not tell you what stock you should take and what stock you should buy. No, that's your own responsibility. Make mistakes and you will learn a lot. Yeah, of course, you have to have real estate too. It's a good idea. Maybe some art. I don't know. That's up to you. But you have to diversify, not to diversify, but in strong assets, in real assets, hard assets, not financial assets, because you run a lot of risk.
Okay, and well, finally, you've mentioned this throughout the talk, but. Me being a teacher, I like to push the young people, the students, to motivate them to think critically, such as these issues that we've been talking about. And I think we need the next generation to be more serious and truly understand the current events, because, like you mentioned, well, we're going to be seeing difficult times. I mean, we already are. And, you know, I see a few good men and women, you know, in the students and in the youth. But it seems a lot of them care more about entertainment and trivial things. And so I think we really need to push to get them to become, you know, we could have fun, but we have to be serious at the same time and to study these things. And so what words of wisdom would you give to the younger people, the high school, university students, people who will graduate and go choose their careers, or maybe they're changing careers? Well, what advice would you give to the younger people?
Yes, educate yourself, learn about economics, learn about finance, because, yes, fun is okay. Have fun, have a lot of fun. You're young, yes, but there are not everything in this world is fun. There are many important things and to study, to learn, because what's at risk is your own financial stability, your future, your financial progress. You have to do something for a living. And please, whatever you do, protect yourself, because there are a lot of thieves outside. They will try to take your money. They will rob you. So be careful, because they will tell you that they will cheat on you. They will say that they want to help you. They want to tell you what to do with your own money. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what to do with your own money, well, somebody else is going to tell you what to do with your money in his benefit. Mm-hmm. So please do yourself a favor. Learn about economics. Learn about finance a little bit, not in general, but about the issues you like or you prefer. If you like cars, learn everything you can about cars. If you like fashion, learn everything about fashion, and learn all the fashion firms and whatever you like. Study all about it. If you like gold and silver, learn a lot about gold and silver. Read many books about it. Think critically, and you know, learn. One, never stop learning. I cannot tell you what to learn exactly, but that's up to you. But you have to, whatever you like, do it. And do it carefully, read a lot, learn who are the best, the real experts, because there are a lot of salesmen that will try to sell you something. But you have to be smart enough to differentiate between a real advice and a sales speech. So be careful.
Excellent advice. And any other final comments? I will post the link to your blog. What is it in Spanish? What is it in Spanish again?
In Spanish, it's Inteligencia Financiera Global. Uh-huh. You can look for it at Google. You can Google it and you will find it. Guillermo Barba or Guillermo Barba's blog or Inteligencia Financiera Global, and you will find it. I publish on Forbes and many others. Websites, but my personal blog is Inteligencia Financiera Global.
Okay, well, Guillermo, thanks for your time, and maybe in the fall we can do this again, perhaps with some students when class is back in session.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Okay, thanks, and I'll keep following your blog.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you soon.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.